Wednesday, July 24th, 2024. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. I hope you, your family, your friends, everyone in your world is staying strong and staying healthy right now. And yes, we continue during this very dry time of year, at least sports-wise. But hey, we did have some huge world news this week as our current sitting president of the United States announced that he would be doing something that Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill seems to be incapable of doing. He is pulling out of the presidential race.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah, pretty wild. Wild times we're living in right now. You know, and if you were surprised that Joe Biden is not going to be running this November, just imagine how he's going to feel when he finds out. I mean, he's probably going to be pretty upset. So they are basically saying, and I don't want to get all political here. This is the political podcast, but they're basically saying that Joe Biden is not capable of running the country for the next 4 years. Okay. But honestly, is anyone feeling strong about him running it for the next 4 weeks, 4 days? Doesn't this feel just a little bit like firing your head college football coach and then asking him, can you still coach the bowl game? I know you're fired, but can you hang around and stick around and still coach our bowl game for us? Do you know how that goes? Yeah, I think you do. Like, this feels very, very precarious right now. Here in the United States, maybe you're listening to this show outside of the U.S. Here in the U.S., no, we are gripping our seat. We are white-knuckling this ride. This is a wild, wild ride right now. Hey, today on the show, I'm going to be doing a very quick Major League Baseball midseason report, and we're actually going to be handing out some grades to every single team in the league for how they have performed in the first half of the season. Of course, the All-Star break just took place. So how are these teams doing? We've got a few A's. We have a lot of C's. And yes, we do have a few F's. Also today, we do have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you. The 2024 Paris Summer Olympics opened this week. And yes, Team USA is supposed to show well in them. But, hey, they've got high expectations. And today we're going to be looking at who has the highest expectations. We know, talking here on the Dose, sometimes those expectations, they can do some strange things to you. Going to get to that in just a few minutes. But first, the Major League Baseball season is, like I said, at about the halfway point. And while a lot of things have gone, according to expectations, are pretty close, this MLB season, it's had a number of surprises. Today, I am going to be handing out a letter grade for just the first half of the season. Now remember, this isn't how I think they're going to do in the second half. This isn't based on anything other than what have you done on the field thus far. So let's go ahead and dive into that right now. And let's start off with those teams that have actually earned A's on their report cards. And you know what? I've only got four of them. The Philadelphia Phillies, they have maybe looked like the best team in baseball. They right now have an insane plus 106 run differential. And you know what's crazy about that? The Philadelphia Phillies haven't even been fully healthy. So they definitely deserve an A because they are performing. And what's crazy to think about, when we went into the season, we weren't really looking at Philadelphia, but they could get better in the second half of the season. No, the Phillies deserve an A. I also gave an A to the Milwaukee Brewers, mostly because they are crushing the low expectations that were set for them, and they are sitting alone atop the NL Central. Very, very solid job by Milwaukee. I'll give them an A. I will give an A to the Cleveland Guardians. Again, they have been crushing their competition, and I know If you're sitting there and you're listening and you're going, wait a second, Clint. Cleveland hasn't played anybody. They've had a really soft schedule. No, I get that. And I totally agree. And yet they've crushed that soft schedule. So you can only play who's in front of you, and they're beating up on the competition right now. It's going to get tougher in the second half. Right now, I'll give Cleveland an A. Finally, I will give an A to the Baltimore Orioles, who might have the best offense in all of baseball. Hey, A's are tough to get. Baltimore deserves one. They are taking on everyone. They have been very, very strong. And like I said, I don't know if it can hold up in the playoffs, but their offense has been dominant so far in the first half of the season. There's my A's. That's all you get. Let's move next to the teams that are getting a B so far for their performance on the field. And again, I only have four teams here that are getting Bs. Now, some of these were really close to getting A's. They just missed the mark. And a good example of that would be the Minnesota Twins. You know, Minnesota is just 5 games behind Cleveland in the AL Central. Again, who expected anything from Minnesota? Now, here's my concern for the Twins. When they have faced the big dogs, they have not looked well. Do you realize Minnesota is 0-14 against the Yankees, the Guardians, and the Orioles? Okay, don't worry about that, though. They'll probably be okay, and if they see those teams, it'll be in the postseason. I'm going to give Minnesota a B. Maybe a B-, but a B. Next up, I will give a B to the Kansas City Royals. Kansas City started the season 39-26. Again, didn't have high expectations, but they were very, very good to start. Now, they have slid recently, and that's going to keep them from getting that A. And now I'm not quite sure if they're going to be able to hold on to this, but right now, I would give Kansas City just a solid B. I will give a B also to the New York Yankees, another team that started really, really strong, but recently, right before the break, New York started to slip up a little bit. And I don't just mean they lost a couple games they should have won. I mean, the Yankees at times looked really, really bad. So I'm going to give them a B. I'm going to wait and see. I don't feel great about it. I might even make that a B-, but I'll give the Yankees a B right now. And I will finish with the team that is supposed to win it all, that is supposed to dominate everyone. But I'm going to give the Los Angeles Dodgers a B, because for all those expectations, they've been a little underwhelming. They haven't been as dominant as maybe we were thinking they would be going into the season. Here's the caveat with the Dodgers. They have dealt with a number of injuries. And I don't mean to small-time players. I mean to some major stars. So LA is still on top of their division. They still look like a big dog out there. Let's wait and see once they get healthy, because they've got some people on the shelf. Guys like Mookie Betts that are going to change that roster significantly. I'm going to give the Dodgers a B, and I think they may come around and actually improve quite a bit in the second half. Hey, they better. With that payroll, with those expectations, the Dodgers better get it together real fast, but I'll give them a B. Of course, most of the teams in MLB, most of the teams on our list today, they're going to get C's. Why? Because they're average. They're okay. They're not great. They're not bad. They're average. I have 10 teams getting C's today. Now, you might hear this. You might not be happy that I'm giving these teams C's, but remember, C's get degrees. These teams could still rally. I'm going to give a C to the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, the Pirates have been mostly average, aside from the pitching of those two rookies. Hey, Paul Skenes and Jared Jones have been phenomenal, super exciting, brought some life to that team. But aside from those two rookies, are the Pirates really doing that much? No, they're okay. They're very average, and they get a C. Next up is a team that I always kind of talk myself into. They're going to be better than we think they are. This year, no, they're not. They're just average. The Tampa Bay Rays are the definition of average this year, but they haven't been healthy. They've been very, very banged up. So I'll put Tampa on the C list. The San Diego Padres, I'm actually going to give them a C plus. They just missed getting a B. Hey, they're fun. They're exciting to watch. But they also lose games they shouldn't lose. They also have nights that you're like, you don't look very good tonight at all. It's one thing to have a lot of C nights. Some nights the Padres look like A team, and some nights they look like F team. For that reason, I'll put them right in the middle. I'll give them a C, but they could make a run. The Houston Astros started the season terrible. They went 12-24 to start the season, but Houston is showing signs of life. They rallied. They are now on top of the AL West in a year that start kind of looked like maybe they were doomed. Hey, maybe Houston's going to finally start to slide, but they're getting better and they're going to get healthy. They're going to get a few key players back. Houston is probably on the rise. I'll give them a C though, because that was a horrible start. The Atlanta Braves had really high hopes this year, and hey, they're still primed to heat up, but they've been very underwhelming so far. What happened to that offense? They used to know how to find ways to win. They would manufacture runs. Right now, that's not happening. Atlanta gets a C. Now, the New York Mets are kind of a weird C, because we didn't have any expectations for the Mets this year. Well, when the season started, everyone looked right. Yeah, the Mets looked very, very average. They started slow, but they've heated up recently. And they've heated up to be, again, solidly average. I'll give the Mets a C. The St. Louis Cardinals are just 5 games behind Milwaukee. They are in second place in the NL Central. And hey, the Cardinals could make a run. They should improve in the second half. But the problem for St. Louis right now, they're not getting much production from their bats, and they're not getting much production from their outfielders. They're not getting much production from their big name players. Yes, I'm looking at you, Nolan Arenado. When are you going to step up? Paul Goldschmidt, when are you going to step up? Right now, the Cardinals look like an average baseball team to me. Could they get better? Yes. Should they improve? Absolutely. Just have your stars step up. That would be a big step in the right direction. Now, our next C is going to go to a team that it is crazy to think about this. But remember that the Arizona Diamondbacks went to the World Series last year. Like, that really happened, right? That wasn't like a fever dream, was it? Right now, the Arizona Diamondbacks are just barely above 500. So, yeah, they get a C. Now, this next team might be deserving of a B, I won't lie. The Boston Red Sox, they are at least in contention for a wild card spot. And the reason that people are high on the Red Sox right now isn't because they've looked so great. It's because no one expected much from them. Like, we were looking at Boston and saying, well, this is kind of a rebuild. They're kind of still in the mode of getting their people. Well, they look a little bit better than we expected. So a lot of people are looking at Boston going, hey, this is the real deal. Well, you're in contention for a wild card. And because we weren't expecting much, everyone wants to, you know, hand out A's. But I will give Boston this. They've played a pretty tough schedule. They are a plus 40 in run differential. However, for as well as you've played, and you've played better than we thought, Boston is still sitting in third place in their own division. So I'm going to give you a C. Our last C is going to go to those Seattle Mariners. Now, when you hear that, you might say, come on, Seattle deserves better than that. They almost got a B. You're in second place in the AL West, but it is the AL West. I mean, it's like winning the Pac-12. Who cares? No one. So, very good job. But it's the AL West, and it doesn't really look like it's really all that tough. Big deal. So let's move on to those teams that we are giving D's to. Yes, those teams that have been a shade below average. I've got 6 D's to hand out. And I'm going to start with the Chicago Cubs, who should have been a playoff team last year. Remember last year? We were looking at Chicago going, hey, they might make this run. They might get into the playoffs. And then when the season begins this year, you're like, okay, we remember the run you were on. You were kind of putting some things together. All right, let's go. Go be a playoff team. Well, now it kind of looks like they're regressing. Do you realize Chicago is now at the very bottom of the NL Central? Yeah, you get a D for that. I'm going to give the Cincinnati Reds a D, and they're lucky to get the D because I thought about giving them an F. The Reds did have some expectations going into the season. They were picked by a number of people to be a playoff team. The Cincinnati Reds are 5 games under 500, and that's not the bad news. The bad news is you've played a pretty soft schedule. What's going to happen when you start playing the good teams? Yeah, Cincinnati, I'm a little bit concerned for you. You might be lucky you got the D. Now, I actually believe the Washington Nationals are improving. They have a good young squad. They might be on the rise. It seems like they're improving. But again, your record is who you are. And while they're young and while they're improving, the Nationals are 7 games under 500. I can't give you a C. You're below average. I'll give you a D. The San Francisco Giants were aggressive in the offseason. Well, they tried to be. They were expected to compete for a playoff spot. Hey, they did go out and add some names. I mean, the Giants went out. They get Blake Snell. They get Matt Chapman. They get Jordan Hicks. They get Robbie Ray. So why in the world are the Giants 11 games back in the NL West? Well, mostly because they're not getting any production from those players. And here's the worst part for the Giants, because that's bad enough. Their run differential right now is a negative 27. Really? San Francisco? Yeah, they're just not very good. They're below average, and they get a D. Our final D grade goes to the defending champion, Texas Rangers, who honestly, at this point, it feels like they're doing their best to convince us that that World Series title last year was a total and complete fluke. Like they had no business winning it. The Rangers are 6 games under 500. Their offense is doing nothing. Their pitchers are banged up. If the Rangers are going to make a run, it had better start soon. And I know the run they went on last year. And maybe they're looking around and saying, hey, we can do that again. I don't know if I buy it. This team doesn't look the same. This team looks like they kind of fluked their way into a title. Hey, all the best. Well done. You got a ring. And yet, I'm looking right now at Texas and going, yeah, it's not a very good baseball team. I don't know if they're fat and happy. Just got sloppy. I know, like I said, they're a little bit banged up, but the Rangers are a D team right now. Okay, let's get to it. Let's get to those teams that have been truly dreadful and are truly deserving of a failing grade.
It is embarrassing!
And kids, I've got 6 teams that I'm giving Fs to. And do you know why I'm giving them Fs? I'll tell you why. Because they deserve them. Now, I know there are publications, there are sports media outlets out there, and they're giving these teams Ds. And they're saying, hey, they were expected to be bad. And so they are. So who cares? I'll give them a D. No, that's not how this works. If you're awful, then we're going to tell you you're awful. Here are 6 awful teams. First up, the Los Angeles Angels of Los Angeles, or whatever their stupid name is, they're getting an F. Okay, with Shohei Ohtani gone, Mike Trout never plays. We knew that the Angels of Angeles would be horrible. And sure enough, they are. The Angels are 16 games under 500. You're not even competing. The Angels stink. Next up, the Chicago White Sox. Hey, this team is terrible. In a year of some really, really bad teams, the White Sox might be the worst team in Major League Baseball. Do you realize the White Sox have a record of 27-73 at the All-Star break? Like I said, that is something special this year because there are some terrible teams in Major League Baseball. The White Sox are going out and really proving, no, we're worse than any of you. Like they are putting their head down. They are focused. They're going to prove they are the worst. Well done, Chicago. You're doing well. The Miami Marlins, somehow, again, kind of seems weird now. They made the playoffs last year. Do you realize that? That's pretty amazing. Well, what in the world happened? Because right now, the Miami Marlins are last in almost every statistical category. Miami is 28 games back in the NL East. What an absolute and utter disaster. The Marlins are an embarrassment this year. Now, the Oakland A's are a prime example of one of those teams where the experts are like, okay, yeah, they're a mess, but they're tanking. They're trying to move. Hey, they've won 39 games. Cut them a little slack. Nope. Not going to be able to do it. Hey, spin it however you want. Ownership's a mess. The team is a disaster. They're trying to tank. They are headed to another 100-loss season. That's horrible. If you even cried, you could at least win a few games. They don't even try. They are horrible. And, you know, maybe the most disappointing team in all of baseball, across the board, is the Toronto Blue Jays. And I'll be honest, when I look at Toronto, I'll give them an F minus. Remember for like that 5 minutes that Toronto thought they were getting Shohei Ohtani? Oof, that hurt. That hurt. It kind of took the wind out of the sails for Toronto. Toronto is 10 games under 500. They are 16 games back. And the Toronto Blue Jays currently sit in dead last place in the AL East. They have, again, this might be the worst part, they have a run differential of minus 71. This is not a team without talent. And that is the reason they're getting an F minus. Because they're doing nothing and they have some talented players. Hey, kids, get ready for a fire sale. It's coming. Toronto's about to host a big fire sale and someone is going to end up with some big time talent. Vlad Guerrero, Bo Bichette. Hey, there are some big suitors that are going to come that would love to add a couple of guys like that. And the Blue Jays are probably going to sell them off for cheap. So we finish off our 2024 Major League Baseball midseason grades with our final F. And come on, who else could it go to? But the complete and utter disaster that is my hometown, Colorado Rockies. You know, growing up in Colorado, I had hoped someday we would get Major League Baseball. We had minor league teams. I remember going to games. We had the Denver Bears. We had the Denver Zephyrs. And, you know, we would go to those games. They were fun. They were cheap. They were at Mile High. We'd go down there. You could sit up close. You could catch a foul ball. It was a great time. And so fans in Denver would cheer either for like the Kansas City Royals or maybe the Cubs or maybe the St. Louis Cardinals because, you know, those teams fed into them. And they were teams that we got to see more here in Denver. And, you know, here in Colorado, we wished for a major league team. We are still wishing. The ownership for the Colorado Rockies is among the worst in professional sports, and they don't get any credit. Like, no one really calls them out because, well, it's the Colorado Rockies. Who cares? But they are among the worst in professional sports. There is no progress. There is literally nothing whatsoever to feel good about with that franchise. The Colorado Rockies, again, deserve an F. And you know what? Not just for this season, but for their entire existence, they deserve an F. Okay, coming back, we are starting to get excited for those 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris. And we know the United States is going to be a big dog over there. They should show reasonably well. But who are the biggest dogs from the U.S. this year? Our Daily Dose Top 5 will take a look at exactly that when we get back. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Did you know that in Olympic history, there are over 60 countries that have never won a summer medal of any kind? There are 40 more, so there's 100, that have never won a gold medal in the Summer Games. Well, my country, the United States, is not one of those countries. American athletes have won over 2,600 medals, and over 1,000 of those medals were gold at the Summer Olympic Games alone. We have also won a number in the winter, making the United States the most prolific medal-winning nation in the history of the World Olympics. Hey, the U.S. has placed first in the Summer Olympics medal table 18 times out of 29 Summer Olympics and out of 28 appearances. And going into these Olympics, the U.S. again is the favorite to win the most medals. Right now, you would have to lay $2,500 to win $100 that the U.S. would lead all countries in medal count. Hey, we excel at sports. We expect to win. And today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is going to count down the five teams or individuals from the United States that are currently the biggest favorites to win gold in Paris right now. Now, keep one thing in mind, because I may go through these and you say, hey, what about this team? What about this athlete? What about this competition or this sport? You didn't mention those. Well, understand, not all of the odds have been released yet. These are the odds from Vegas. Who is actually the heavy favorite from the U.S. to win gold? Let's go ahead and jump in. At number five, we start with a team sport that won't be easy to win the gold, because in the sport, so many things can happen. And the competition is going to be tough. Do you realize that it has now been 12 years since the United States women's soccer team won a gold medal? Yeah. It was back in 2012 that the U.S. team beat Japan 2-1 in the title game. They won the gold at the London Olympics in 2012. And they haven't won it since. They lost to Sweden in the semifinal game in 2016, and they had to settle for bronze back in 2020. Hey, this year it won't be easy. Team USA has mostly been rebuilt from those teams. Gone are the Rapinos and the Morgans. Now we have players like Lindsey Horan and Crystal Dunn leading the way. Yeah, it's a new group. But hey, this team is still talented. The United States is a slight favorite. They are a plus 150 right now over Spain, who is a plus 220. So if I bet 100, I would get 150 back that the U.S. will win gold in women's soccer. Host France is a plus 400. Now, can the U.S. women's team do what the last two teams have failed to do? We'll see. The United States women's soccer team comes in today on our list of favorites to get gold in Paris at number five. We move on to number four. And we go to the world of track and field, where we landed a very talented athlete, but one that has had some issues. Because in the women's 100 meters, American sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson, she is the odds-on favorite at a minus 170 at Caesars in Vegas to win the gold. Now, Richardson is an American track and field sprinter. She competes in the 100 and the 200. But you might remember her back in 2019. When she was at LSU, she ran a 10.75 in the 100 meter, and the winning time made her one of the 10 fastest women in history at the age of 19. So she had qualified for the 2020 Summer Olympics after winning the 100 in the Olympic trials, but on July 1st, it was reported that Richardson had tested positive for cannabis, and it invalidated her win and made her ineligible. Hey, at these Olympics in Paris, Richardson should win gold. She is the favorite to win gold in the 100. But honestly, she probably should have won it in 2022. She's the fastest woman on the planet. Just don't do anything silly. Sha'Carri Richardson comes in today on our list at number four. We reach number three, and we arrive at one of the most decorated Olympians in history, because Kathleen Genevieve Ledecky is an American competitive swimmer. She has won 7 Olympic medals and 21 world championship golds, the most in history for a female swimmer. Hey, Katie Ledecky is aiming for a fourth straight 800 meter free gold and another 1500 meter crown But here's where it's going to get really interesting, because I think she's going to win those, and I think she'll be okay in both of those. But it's in the 400 meter freestyle event, where three of the greatest swimmers of the modern era are going to face off. One being Ledecky, who is the 2016 Olympic champion. She'll be facing Australia's Ariane Titmus, who stunned the American at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics and currently owns the world record. But Katie Ledecky is currently a minus 470 to win gold in Paris, which means you would have to bet $470 to make $100. She is a big dog. She is a favorite. But can Katie Ledecky win that 400 against Australia's Titmus? Hey, it could be the crowning achievement of her incredible career. Katie Ledecky comes in today at number three. We arrive at the number two most likely Americans to win the gold medal, at least by betting odds. And we reach a team that is a minus 500 to bring home the gold. And that is the men's basketball team. Hey, led by LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, the Americans are absolutely loaded with talent. They are hoping to win their fifth gold medal in a row, but this won't be a walk in the park. Remember, Canada has Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They've got Jamal Murray. They're a plus 1,100. France has Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert. They're a plus 1,200, plus they're playing at home. Now, honestly, this shouldn't be close, right? Yeah, except that we've already seen Team USA struggling in exhibition matches. They had to eke out a win over South Sudan. I mean, that was a one-point win. My goodness, if that was that hard to beat South Sudan, what are you going to do when you face, I don't know, West Sudan? Remember, though, there have been so-called experts saying, hey, this team actually might be better than the original Dream Team. Okay, that's insane. And it's insane for a few reasons. One, who's your best player, LeBron? I mean, he is past his prime a little bit, right? Two, if they can't shoot it well and the other team does shoot it well, they're going to be in some trouble. Lastly, the competition they face is going to be better. Those other countries are pretty darn good. I mean, here's a question I have. Who's the best player in the world right now? And I'll give you a hint. He's not an American, and neither is number two and possibly number three. Hey, the pressure is on the Team USA men's hoop squad. You need to step up and you need to dominate. Men's basketball comes in today on our list at number two. So we arrive at the number one favored team or athlete to win gold for the United States at the 2024 Paris Olympics, and we stay in basketball. But we move over to the women's side, because the U.S. women's basketball team appears to be a lock to win their eighth straight gold medal. They are a minus 1,800 favorite, which means a better must wager $1,800 to win $100. Yeah, it's not a great bet, but I mean, you might win it. Hey, the entire team from the U.S. is all-stars, whereas other countries have maybe one or two professional players. This shouldn't be close. The next closest teams are Australia and Spain at plus 2,200, and then you have France at plus 2,800. The U.S. roster is stacked. Aja Wilson, Kelsey Plum, Jewel Lloyd, Nafrisha Collier, Diana Taurasi. Come on. This isn't even going to be close. Team USA Women's Hoops is one of the most dominant in all Olympic sports. Do you realize that our women basketball players have a 70-3 record in Olympic play, and they have won seven consecutive gold medals? They don't have an Olympic loss since 1992, and their gold medal in 2020, actually 2021, tied the U.S. men's basketball team record for most consecutive Olympic team victories in all Olympic sports. Hey, the opening ceremonies for the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris begin this Friday. And while the opening ceremonies, they don't actually give us any events, remember this, they do provide us with one very fun aspect to the Olympic Games. And that, of course, is who has the hottest athletes. Let the games begin. Hey, next week on The Dose, we actually may have something a little different for you because it is that slow time of the year. Of course, we'll keep you updated on any stories that are taking place in sports, but we might have something a little fun for you as we begin to ramp up to a busier time of year. So be sure you tune in next week and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for stopping by DailyDoseSports.com each week where we have new things going up all the time. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles that we share with someone else. We love it when you do that. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
It is embarrassing!